This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are 5-star phony reviews on Amazon in the millions. A DMCA takedown abuse reporting on DMCAs from stars. Game of Thrones Season 8 clues. And did you know astronauts do not get an extension on their taxes? I want to welcome you to episode 1361 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, April 15th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And you too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners and all the folks that are part of the Ohana. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the show out. Thanks for staying subscribed. For those of you that are brand new to the show, we really have one simple set of instructions for you. Get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, subscribe to the podcast via Apple Podcasts, on Android, on email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, using a standard RSS feed. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, click on the more subscribe options. We give you instructions on how to subscribe to the show so you never miss a single episode. Of course, you scroll down on the website a little further, get signed up for our newsletter. Newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during the show today as well. So that's a great way to stay connected here. Of course, you can watch the show on the Apple TV. You can listen on Blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device, if you so choose to, over your mobile device by saying the keyword to launch your device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. We're always live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Mixer. And of course, you can check out the show at live.geeknewscentral.com. You can always join our chat room at geeknews.chat or on Slack. To be part of our Slack channel, all you got to do is send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, that is the way to contact me as well for the show. For any comments you may have, of course, you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews as well. Of course, I'm on Facebook and we are live on Facebook as I basically speak this. So you can always catch the show there as well. Partner shows include the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear Site, the New Media Show, and the Podcast Legends Show. All those are linked at geeknewscentral.com. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show, of course, is sponsored by our good friends at GoDaddy.com, the longest continuous sponsor of a podcast, and we have deals for you. Now, I did get our March numbers. The March numbers were down a tad. Nothing too crazy, but definitely going to put out a personal appeal here to all of you, to those of you that have been part of the audience for a long time, to step it up. Share my codes. Tell people about how they can get online at GoDaddy.com, whether or not they're looking for hosting, and then get $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for just $1 a month for the first year, or then get $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. $12 gets you started over at GoDaddy.com. Of course, you can get a 99-cent.com, a new or transferred domains as well. So if you got a domain somewhere else and you want to move it over to GoDaddy, you can do that. And I always recommend that you have all your domains under one roof. And that way you can invoke some great savings by using the GoDaddy Super Saver plan, where if you have, I think, more than about 20 or 25 domains, it's worthwhile to sign up for that because you get the domains at a little bit bigger discount. Of course, you can save 30% off new product purchases as well. And for the business owners out there, 1 month free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. So all these codes are available again at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's the place to go for the best savings. Share these codes with your friends, family members, people that you know, coworkers, anyone that you know that may be looking to start up a website or do something creative. This is a great way to get going, and I have the best deals for you. So definitely appreciate your ongoing support here. And we'll see if we can bump the numbers back up to where they were in in previous months and carry April a little bit better. Be honest with you. go out and promote those codes. If you are part of the Ohana here, I would definitely appreciate it. Moving, it wasn't a good month for a dip, considering all the expenses for the move. But again, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here and supporting the show and allowing us to get where we had getting from point A to point B. And they wouldn't have been possible without them up to this point. So thank you, everyone, for your ongoing support. And of course, thanks, GoDaddy, for being a sponsor here. Okay, so what's in? Let me get you caught up. Got a couple emails. Yes, I know. I know. Kirk is not Todd. Todd is not Kirk. And I've all, you know, it's, I'll just say thank you for your feedback. And one thing's for sure is the goal is to keep the show moving and keep the content being put out. My travel schedule and everything has been crazy. Instead of leaving some shows basically not published because I couldn't do them, as I had Kirk step in and produce the show. So I appreciate the feedback. I really, really do. That said, with everything that's looking going forward here, just from a schedule standpoint, so that you guys know, there'll be two shows this week. And then next week, I'm going to be in Columbus. So definitely a Monday show in Columbus for sure. And then potentially no show at the end of the week. And here's really what's going on is my team is coming together. We're having a big meeting. I take everyone out to dinner Thursday. So if I do the show on Thursday, it'll have to be, maybe I'll do it on Friday. Maybe that's what I don't know. We'll see, because the whole team's being together. It's going to be crazy at the end of the week. And then the following week, I'm in the East Coast. And it's very much possible that the schedule is not going to allow me to do a show while I'm on the East Coast. So I'm just playing, seeing what I can do here and keeping the show moving. So maybe there'll be an easy show. Maybe there'll be a Monday show and a Wednesday show versus a Monday and Thursday show. I'll try to get it knocked out so we don't have three shows off in a row. But it's just kind of the way things are right now. It's just nuts. And once I get moved, things hopefully will calm down a little bit. But really, we're on the clock here. And I get back after I fly out Saturday night, this coming Saturday, the 20th. And I don't get back until Sunday, the 5th of May. It's crazy. And then we have, let me look at the calendar here. So we'd have two shows the week of the 6th. We'd have two shows the week of the 16th. So potentially, there's only going to be about five more shows coming out of this studio before I pull the plug. Now, there's going to be shows going on, audio only. So let me just get that clear. We will drop the video portion of the show. Audio will continue after May 16th. So it's going to be fun because, well, it's going to be interesting because I'm going to be doing audio from here until the 31st. And maybe I'll have a little fun with that. We'll see what we can do. We'll have the TriCaster Mini here. That is not getting packed out. That's going with me when I leave for Michigan on around June 1st. So maybe we'll have some video. I don't know. I've got to get that all figured out, but I'll figure that out after I get back on the 5th of May back here in Hawaii. So anyway, that's kind of the craziness that's going on, but I want to keep the show rolling. And I'll just let you guys know, but we're going to have to be flexible with me here. Also, as always, as we're wrapping up the production here in Hawaii, I told you guys I wanted to talk a little bit about Ohana appreciation. And, you know, I go all the way back to episode 200, when I was supposed to do episode 200, and episode 200 got preempted by my father's death in the automobile accident. And so, you know, I come back from basically 10 days of having buried my father and really at that point helping my mom get reestablished. And well, not get reestablished, but we had a a cooler full of peaches. They're produce brokers. We had to get rid of, I don't know, a semi-load of peaches and, you know, really no time to really even think. And I came back to Hawaii and opened my email and you guys just blew me away. I think there was 4,000 or 5,000 different emails. I have them archived in email somewhere, but it was really heartwarming to come back to, and it was one of those inflection points for me when I really understood that the listeners, you listeners of this show, were much tighter. It was a much closer relationship that even I realized with all those emails of condolences. And it was very, very heartwarming to me at the time. So, you know, we've been through a lot and many of you have not been here for those early years, but that was just one of many instances where I really realized that the ohana of this audience was as important as the show itself. And so I just, you know, I wanted to kind of reflect and talk a little bit about that tonight and in, you know, just kind of set the tone to make you guys understand how appreciative I am of you being part of this family here, being this part of our Geek News Central family. So I'm going to leave it at that. But so to get you caught up, I flew out Friday night, got into Vegas Saturday. Got hooked up with the team. Sunday, we set up the booth, had some meetings, and then Monday, the show kicked off, and Monday, Tuesday, just crushed, absolutely crushed. And then as far as meetings, after dinner things, went to Gordon Ramsay, you know, way overrated. Food was great, but you know, sometimes in Vegas, it's just better to go to McDonald's. And I'm being serious. The food sometimes, I don't know what it is with Vegas, but the Strip, especially the Strip, I have better meals going to a taco stand or going to a hole in the wall and spending $12, $13, $14 on a plate of food than I do sitting down somewhere and paying 30 or 40 bucks for a meal. The best meal I had in Vegas the entire time I was there was actually close to the hotel from the Flamingo, and it was beef stroganoff on the menu. It was absolutely delicious. It was the best meal I had in Vegas. And I went had lamb chops one place, steak another. And my best meal was beef stroganoff. And then, you know, like, and then having tacos on Fremont Street for 12 bucks. But it just something about it is, I'm kind of done with Vegas, to be frank. I've had my fill. And I used to like and go and hang out a couple extra days and relax. And now it's just, I want to get out of there. So the first 2 days, obviously lots going on. And then Wednesday of the show, the booth was crushed. It was kind of like this ebb and flow of people. I've got a ton of follow-up work to do that there's no way I'm going to dig myself out over the next week. Potential business partners. There was lots of people there, investors, you name it. It run the gamut. I was being pitched by some very big firms. What can we do for you? And that was exciting. Ready to write very big checks. So, and not necessarily in an investment standpoint. It's kind of weird, but it was some really, really, really good meetings. And then, so Thursday was last day of the show. Slow, I was able to get around. I went over and saw New Tech, saw some of their stuff. Matter of fact, I sent out a question to Mike Bain today, Don Bain's son, asked him about some of the stuff I have going on the TriCaster here, because I don't quite know what version I'm on. I don't know if I'm on AE2 or AE3, but anyway, get those questions answered. And long story short, it was very productive. And I didn't see a lot of the show. we were just busy, and a lot of podcasters, a lot of radio stations, a lot of people that were fishing for information. The podcasting space is so hot right now that when a person comes up and talks to you and you're trying to figure out, trying to do the qualifying of who they are, what they do, and they're being very cagey about it, you don't know if you're talking to a potential investor, potential competition, someone that's, you know, out looking for some free information to use against you. You just don't know. And so this year we're a lot of, you know, looking people up on LinkedIn as they were standing at the booth, that kind of thing. So it was an interesting show. And then Friday, I had more meetings on Friday. That wrapped up. And then Saturday, I should have flown home Saturday. But for some reason I had my flight scheduled for Sunday. So Saturday, I'll be honest with you, I slept to noon. And I never sleep to noon. Got up and really didn't do too much, and then flew home on Sunday. So that's kind of where we're at here, from, you know, the last week or so on what's been going on. So anyway, I thought I'd catch you all up and before we get into the show here. So but yeah, it's been an exciting week. And it's almost like I got home yesterday and kind of decompressing around here. And, you know, you're used to this, you know, this noise, and it's, everything is, you know, kind of the way it is in Vegas. And, you know, the last thing I'm just, we chilled out and we watched Game of Thrones season eight, episode one, and was excited to see that. And then about an hour after we watched that, I crashed out. Matter of fact, I got home and the first thing I did was sign up for the HBO Go or whatever it is, so we could at least watch it on demand. And it's kind of funny. I logged into YouTube TV and it said, oh, by the way, we're adding 8 channels and the price is going up. And I'm like, this is the same scam that cable did. YouTube TV is not long for our home. But let me talk just a little bit about Game of Thrones. If you're a fan, and I'm sure you are, many of you that are listening to the show, but the opening credits, that's the thing we saw immediately when the big change was the opening credits completely were revamped. And I really didn't know this, and I guess I don't have my geekness on. You know, the credits have always been complex, but for those that watch it slowly and repeat and freeze frames, I guess there's a lot of hints and clues about what is going to happen in this season. And I'm not going to be a spoiler here in case you haven't watched it, but I would say that it might be worth for you to go back and rewatch the first 2 minutes of the intro, because it kind of gives just a little bit of a hint on storyline and where things are happening or going. But I tell you, they accomplished a lot in an hour. A lot. Boy, brought a whole bunch of stories, a whole bunch of people, a bunch of craziness together. And I had to keep being reminded. I kept saying, was she back already? Or when did she show up? And, you know, scratching my head a little bit, because it's been so long since season 7, I really should have went back and rewatched season 7, because there was some stuff they showed. I was like, I don't remember that. So at some point, maybe I'll go back and do a binge watching of 1 through 7 again. But for those of you that are Game of Thrones fans, it's definitely exciting. And my daughter was complaining. I was like, you know, there's only 6 episodes. They're going to wrap this thing up in 6 episodes. And she's like, a lot of people are going to die. And I'm like, yeah, they're going to be killing a lot of people in a hurry. So, and we were even talking, well, I can't say what I want to say here, because if you haven't watched it, there'll be some spoilers, but we have some, you know, I made a question, if he is with her, is that incest? You know, so that's all I will say at this point. So season 8 is bound to be very, very exciting here. Okay, let's get into some regular type of tech stuff. Over at thehustle.co, and I don't think I've covered an article from them before, this guy spent 2 weeks in the underbelly of Amazon's fake review economy, and he found where inspiring people that want to get $200 or $300 worth of cheap junk electronic gadgets can do so relatively free and maybe earn a little bit of a bonus. So what's going on is that, and I've seen this before, is that Amazon, a couple of years ago, opened up their resellers to allow Chinese companies to do their own, they went direct. So, you know, a lot of stuff, we've talked about this before, that a lot of consumer electronics that come out of China are branded by, you know, Target, Best Buy, it's company du jour, puts their label on the product and sells it at retail at a much higher markup. But that same cable or charger or whatever it may be will have 25 different companies reselling that as their own. And Amazon basically went to those same firms and said, hey, we'd like to cut out the middleman. We'd like to buy from you or basically offer you the ability to sell direct. Well, they have the ability to send, you know, 5,000 of these in, direct to Amazon's warehouses to be a part of their fulfillment system. But they have to, in order to do sales, they have to be found in the relatively high rankings in the search results or become a Amazon Choice type of product. And this is how the scam works, because I've known about this forever. Excuse me, I'm sniffling on you. Is that I've gotten, in the past, I've been asked to review a product. And let's just say it's a car charger or phone charger for a car, you know. And they said, go ahead and buy it. And we'll refund you your purchase. Just send us your purchase number. And then, you know, do a review. I was never offered a bounty. I was just offered to get the product pay for the product. They would refund me the charge. And then, but the difference was I was never asked to not disclose it was a review. I always went on the pretense that I would, anything that I reviewed, I would say that I was paid to do so or offered the product for free. That's been my policy at Geek News Central forever. Well, apparently bloggers weren't enough. So these groups set up Facebook sites where people could go in and get in and become a reviewer, a quote unquote official reviewer of stuff from Amazon. And they even had instructions. You can't review more than 3 products a week. We don't want you reviewing only Chinese items, blah, blah, blah. All these specific instructions to game the Amazon system. And they were basically would send a direct message via Facebook and say, okay, you go buy the product, send us your order number, we'll refund you the money. And when you put up a 5-star review and don't say that you've been compensated to do so, we will send you an additional $10 via PayPal or some other means. So there are literally an industry has been born around people doing fake 5-star reviews in which they're getting paid $10, $12, $15 or just maybe getting a product for free. These are not bloggers. These are not people that have even used the product. Many of these people say they get the stuff and it just goes in a pile. And I've talked about before how I used to get all kinds of stuff that was just sent to me unsolicited that would go into a pile. And 90% of it I would never review because it was just like a $15 item or cable or, you know, stuff that typically you will find, marked way up in major, you know, major companies like Target and Best Buy. You know, they paid a buck for it and they've got a cable on the shelf for $14.95. So this whole industry is pretty nuts. And they say that folks that have done some research have found that there are 1.8 million vendors who hawk nearly 600 million items that is generating 9.6 million new product reviews every month on Amazon. Fake reviews have been an issue for Amazon for a while. And with them opening up Chinese sellers in 2015, okay, I got the year right or wrong earlier, but 2015, that was a 33% increase by some accounts of hundreds and thousands of new sellers. And they will sell or give products away at a cost in order to get these five-star reviews so that they rank higher in the search results at Amazon and you end up buying a sub piece of crap product. And some folks have been basically now are doing tracking to determine where these fake reviews and how many percentage of fake reviews a product has. So one guy was looking purely at workout supplements and how he bought a product that was getting a five-star review and he had a lot of trouble with it. So he started a site called supplementreviews.com that really has become a hub for non-biased sports nutritional ratings. But at the same time, he did another site called ReviewMeta. He analyzed 203 million Amazon reviews and found that 11.3% of them to be untrustworthy, where people didn't even buy the product and did a review. Unverified reviews is what they're called. But now the resellers are understanding that the unverified reviews are hurting them. So this is what mode they've moved into. They are willing at all cost to get 100, 500, 1,000, 5,000 five-star reviews in order to become up number one and then somehow end up with an Amazon Choice marking on their listing. So just beware out there when you are buying stuff. You know, and it's not just electronics. Someone was giving a positive recommendation on an Amazon for vegan cookbook, and they were, if they gave a five-star review, they would earn $5 to $20 for doing a review, a positive recommendation on a vegan cookbook. So here's how the process generally works. A seller will post an item to a discussion board with the message, free refund plus commission for five-star reviews. Private message for details. An interested buyer sends the seller a private message. The seller directs the buyer to the product on Amazon using keywords. The buyer purchases the product and leaves a five-star review. The seller then sends the buyer a refund either via PayPal plus commission and usually in the form of a $5 to $10 gift card. And so that's how this little scam is working. And some will say, okay, if you buy, let's say you buy some shorts, if you buy a pair of pants, they want you to take a picture of yourself in those pants and post that. And they may give you $10 to $20 to do that. It's crazy. And by the way, it's illegal to do a review of a product without disclosing you've been compensated to do that. This is against the law. Now, is someone going to track you down? Probably not. But this is the case that's going on. But anyway, this is a great story. Talks about how he actually got some of these products and like stuff was breaking, connectors were snapping, all kinds of insane little things that were going on with these products that did not make them a five-star, made them more like a one or two-star product. The Verge is removed. And so anyway, that's the scam on five-star reviews on Amazon. Just remember, you get a product from Amazon and you're not happy with it, you can return it. Okay, I've returned a lot of stuff from Amazon and was not satisfied with something. I've sent it back. They've got a good return policy. Now, yes, you have to take it to like a UPS store or someplace like that. It may not be worth it for a $14 item, but it's a principle of things. They get enough reviews and it's the review is bad and you write a bad review, that'll stop some of this nonsense that's happening. So a tweet from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a very respected group, the EFF, whereas they complain about an abusive DMCA takedown request, has itself been hit with a DMCA takedown request. The EFF notes that the tweet that they posted linked to a Torrent Freak article about a number of leaked TV shows. The article on Torrent Freak did not post a link to any of those videos, only had posted images. So Torrent Freak reported about leaked videos from Stars. It was American Gods and The Spanish Princess. Those were leaked review copies of those shows or movies or whatever they were leaked. They posted snapshots of the leaked watermarks from those review items. And they just reported on the leak. Well, Stars took down Torrent Freak's article, did a DMCA takedown notice on that. And then when the EFF reported on that, they did a takedown on the EFF's reporting of the takedown. This is a purely abusive DMCA. The EFF says, reporting about copyright infringement is not infringement. The EFF says they filed a counterclaim response to the takedown notice and adds that Stars should withdraw its takedown and refrain from harassing journalists in the future. Now, this particular article has not been updated, but this got some big, heavy news today. And Stars has relented and apologized. Sometimes these automated systems that companies like Stars employ a heavy hand. And you as the content creator of that gets that DMCA takedown, was then have to go through the pain of counterclaiming. And it can be it's just an ordeal. And where a human is not involved, then something automatically happens, it is no good. Now, we haven't gotten to the gory details of what happened with Stars, if that was human-initiated or auto-initiated, but it almost feels as if it was an auto-initiated by a bot that issued the DMCA takedowns. And this happens a lot. Happens a great deal. You know, I get DMCA takedown notices for stuff at Blueberry. We go in and we review the content that supposedly is abusing someone else's copyright. And no, we don't find what they have found. And it can be really an issue. So DMCA continues to be a bit problematic. For those of you that listen are in the United States, I hope your taxes were in the mail yesterday. Taxes were due. The IRS cashed my check. Boy, they are really good about cashing checks. It was fast. Because I was looking at my checking account. I'm like, I saw this, you know, big dip. And I'm like, I immediately, you know, my warning radar went off. I'm like, what was that? And then I went and looked at my details, like, oh yeah, the IRS took a hit on my checking account. But if you're an astronaut, tax day does not automatically give you an extension. So there is no escaping. Even if you are on the International Space Station, you are not exempt from filing your taxes on time or filing an extension. So extensions are always nice. As long as you write the check, you're okay. And what you think you owe. So, and many of you probably had to write some checks this year, I'm sure. One thing's for sure, death and taxes, right? It's going to happen. By the way, I'm getting a new roof. My roof is half tore off. They were here all day banging around, boom, 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 much to the chagrin of my kids. And, so I've got stuff to do around town and stuff. I said, so I told my daughter, are you working tomorrow? She says, nope. I said, okay, you got house duty tomorrow. And my son, I said, are you home Wednesday? He said, yep. I said, you got house duty Wednesday. So the solar's off, the hot water heater's off, the half the roof is stripped to half the roof is they've re-tarped it or whatever they do. And then the other half's coming off tomorrow, and I'm sure they're going to start laying shingles. So yes, the checkbook was impacted again. So yes, your contributions as an insider is absolutely appreciated right now, for sure. We're literally trying to keep the lights on because the solar is off the reservation right now. I'm telling everyone, don't use too much power. I don't want to, because I'm going to incur a week of no solar assistance. California DMV is proposing rules for testing self-driving delivery vehicles on public roads. It would apply to delivery vehicles weighing over 10,000 pounds. So there's no policy currently, but they're trying to change this. So it all comes down to the motor truck, which California law defines as a motor vehicle designed, used, or maintained primarily for transportation of property. Delivery vehicles weighing less than 10,000 pounds are included in this definition, which is a segment vehicle currently barred from AV testing or deployment. The proposed changes would flip things around and clear these vehicles for public road use. Oh, I guess under 10,000 pounds, excuse me, not over. But the public's going to get some time to comment and so forth on this as well. The California DMV notes that 61 manufacturers are currently testing AVs with test drivers on California roads, and 62 companies have permits to do so. If a company wants to ditch the safety driver and operate in a driverless manner, it must secure a special permit with California's AV testing program. Thus far, only Waymo is the only company to receive a permit for testing fully driverless vehicles in California. Interesting news there, yeah? Okay, as I talked about earlier in the show, the YouTube TV price is going up because they're adding some channels. But if you're looking for the cheapest one, the best cheap live TV streaming service, priced at just $16 a month, is Philo, Philo TV, and is the only cheapskate approved choice. So this is according to CNET. They're the cheapest. And, but if you have AT&T Watch TV, it's very similar service, priced at $15 a month. But here's what the $16 Philo plan gets you: 3 simultaneous streams of 45 popular channels, including AMC, Comedy Central, Food Network, IFC, Nickelodeon, Science and the History Channel. Interestingly, though, there's a $20 option that adds 13 more channels. But I guess most folks, according to this article, won't feel the need for AHC, Discovery Life, and Revolt. I don't need any sports channels. None. So maybe this Philo plan is the way to go, because I'm seeing no sports there, which makes a lot of sense. So Roku has some options as well. Hulu, boy, Hulu's in the news. We'll talk about them in just a few moments. But Amazon shareholders are set to vote on selling facial recognition tech to the U.S. government. So they're going to vote next month on whether the company should sell its facial recognition technology. This is an interesting move by them, that they're actually allowing the stakeholders, the shareholders, to vote on this. I'm just going to place this little, Ohana bet here, that the shareholders smell cash and will allow Amazon to sell their facial recognition tech. I'm just about assured that they're going to do that. But, so what is the actual write-up here? Said, among the items we vote on, a shareholder's proposal that would ban the sale of Amazon's recognition tech, the board concludes after an evaluation using independent evidence that technology does not cause to contribute or actually potentially violate civil and human rights. So Amazon board is recommending that shareholders vote against the proposal. The proposal is to not sell the tech to the government. So that is interesting. We'll see where that vote turns out. What do you guys think? What's the probability that the shareholders will say no to money? I don't think they will. I think they will allow this technology to be sold to the government. I would be shocked if it's not. Well, a battle for the ages is looming. And I apologize, I'm dehydrated today, so I'm drinking extra H2O. The battle for the ages is Apple and Qualcomm are squaring off in the U.S. court. Uh-oh, what's going on here? I'm checking something. Oh, that's weird. My Facebook is down. Huh. Well, does that mean everything else is down? YouTube is still up. And Twitter's still up. It's just Facebook is offline. Okay, well, you're all still here. That's the main part, right? So this trial is a culmination of a long-running battle between the two over the cost of the processors that phone use to connect to mobile networks. So this is a big one. Apple claims Qualcomm is charging too much, and Qualcomm disagrees, saying that because it invented the chips, it should be rewarded appropriately. So they're going to go head to head, and we'll see where this ends up. Billions are at stake. Qualcomm has already been smacked down by a number of countries and municipalities. So Qualcomm is paying fines in China of up to $975 million, South Korea of $853 million, and $93 million in Taiwan. In 2018, the European Commission levied a fine of $997 million. So Qualcomm doesn't have a good track record here. So we'll see what happens with this battle. They expect the trial to take about a month. Microsoft could take on Apple AirPods with a new wireless Surface earbud. So that is a rumor. And the earbuds will likely include Cortana integration and noise cancellation. It's possible, but not guaranteed, that they'll come out by the end of the year. I've officially lost my third set of headsets in an airplane. I'm done taking my own headsets on airplanes. I don't know what it is. I don't know why I keep losing earbuds and stuff on airplanes. I've had the worst luck in the last year. It's ridiculous. So I vowed to only have like $14.90 at the cheapest earbuds I can wear on airplanes. That's all. I'm nothing expensive until I get my act together. And the last one really hurt me. Some Bose wireless. Oh yeah. Ouch. I'm just sick at myself, but it's what happens when you fly the red eye and you wake up and you're not thinking right. Hackers spied on Microsoft email accounts via compromised admin login. It's possible some unknown group of hackers has been looking at your Microsoft email. Microsoft has cautioned users on Outlook, MSN, and Hotmail email accounts to unidentified individuals to gain access to an internal customer support account that allowed them to view data in a large number of user accounts. The issue has been corrected, but it's not clear how long the breach went undetected or exactly what the attackers could see. A source reached out to Motherboard several weeks ago with the information about the breach, claiming they'd access customer emails via leaked credentials. How do they get access to the actual emails? Are you kidding me? There's apparently some disagreement over the severity Everyone agrees the support account gave hackers access to the subject lines, email history, and contacts for consumer accounts. Corporate accounts were not affected, and Microsoft did send a letter to those affected. Insane. Truly insane. Well, some sad news, obviously, today out of France. You know, the fire that broke out at the iconic Notre Dame Cathedral, which I've never seen. Very devastating. And YouTube's, I guess, smart intelligence software actually thought that the videos were related to 9/11 and were cautioning people about the video. And this was live from Paris. Somehow it was flagged incorrectly by YouTube. YouTube corrected it relatively quickly. But this fire was quite devastating. And just watching what coverage I did get to see today on this online is that it's, yeah, you know, an 800-year-old church, and it really burned. So we'll see what's left after they get in there and clean it up, if the building is going to be able to be salvaged or not. But this is an iconic national treasure of the French and of the world. And it is, it just goes to show you that nothing is permanent. No matter what you do to protect stuff, it's just, you know, a fire like this. And I guess the fire brigades were not able to get there quickly. I don't know the full situation. I'm sure it's going to be armchair quarterback for a long time. But it really looked pretty devastating. More news out of Amazon. They're reportedly set to launch a free music streaming tier. It could be available as soon as this week, so we'll keep our ears peeled on that. But it could be, again, an ad-supported model where you can listen, but you're going to have to, you know, also listen to ads. So we'll see what the limitations of it is when it's announced. But I think the most interesting news today really came out of Visa and Coinbase. Now, some of you have Coinbase accounts. I do. Some of you've got some cryptocurrency in there. I do. Now you can get a Visa card that's tied directly to your cryptocurrency account. So it's called the Coinbase card. It's directly tied to a person's cryptocurrency balance in your digital wallet managed by Coinbase. Coinbase enables trading of Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple, Ripple's XRP, and Litecoin, all of which can be spendable through the new debit card. And what used to happen is if you're trying to do a purchase, it would take for as much as 2 hours for the cryptocurrency to clear. Visa is going to act as the in-between. They're going to know your balance. You make a purchase, they're going to cover it until the cryptocurrency is transferred into, you know, basically pays a Visa back. How much is it going to cost? I don't know per transaction, but this is big. Now, here's where it's really going to be big. If you live in a country that has an unstable currency, let's take Venezuela as an example, and you have the ability to put your money in a cryptocurrency that you have, economies such as China, Russia, Venezuela, or inflation is extremely high, even in African nations, you can move your money into cryptocurrency and have a little more stability as compared to some of these countries. With the inflation rate in Venezuela, you know, they need like a garbage bag just to go like grocery shopping. So, or if they have dollars, this is a way to put dollars into, if you don't have access to a bank that you can put dollars into. Some countries will let you deposit dollars. Did you know that? Which is kind of surprising. I don't think a lot of people knew that. You could go, well, they'll actually let you deposit and withdraw dollars in some foreign countries if you set up a bank account there. You don't, you know, taking dollars is one thing, and then they usually transfer it into local currency, and that's what you withdraw it as. No, some countries let you deposit dollars and withdraw dollars. But anyway, that said, if your country doesn't allow that, Bitcoin may be an option to give you access to your cash in a different way. So it's kind of exciting here what's happening. And folks could actually do some commerce buys with a, you know, with a Visa card using their cryptocurrency as the basically the checking account for that. Moving on here, news out of Hulu. AT&T just gave up its 10% stake in Hulu, gave it back to the streaming service today for $1.43 billion. And this is big. So Hulu could look a little different a year from now, because Disney now controls 66% of Hulu, with Comcast having 33%. So this is a big change. Disney is making their move. AT&T already has their, you know, they bought their content catalog already. So time will tell here where this is going to lead, because, you know, they, you know, AT&T purchased Time Warner. Comcast have its own stuff. So you kind of see where the lines are being drawn out here. And big companies continue to get bigger with the content that they have. Rumors out that Facebook may combine your news feed and stories into one carousel. Swiping could soon replace scrolling. And you know about the storyline, right? Up at the top, you can see what your friends have put on the storyline for the day. And software engineers spotted this change and reported that Facebook is demoing the new format. And it basically has a new feed in a stories-like carousel. So we'll see what happens here. So if Facebook implements this, rather than scroll top to bottom, you would swipe or tap left to right. I don't know what you think about that. Sounds kind of like an Instagram thing. I'm thinking about how that would work on my phone. I guess if I can go backwards, it makes it, you'd be able to flip through a lot more stuff, because you're just clip, flip, 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 flip. I don't know. I have to think about that a little bit. What would you all think? Some rumors are out now about iOS 13. It may include system-wide dark mode and an undo gesture. So Apple may also have plans for Safari and Mail with additional multitasking capabilities. So I think we'll continue to watch the rumors coming for iOS 13. A little bit of tech news. Mass production of iPhones to start in India. Foxconn has announced that iPhones will go into mass production in India this year. You know why? China, tariffs, uncertainty in that market. Apple was not willing to hedge their bets and caused their price of their phones to go up even more. So we'll see. Stuff is still being made in China, but those phones may not end up in U.S. markets because of the tariffs. So we'll see what happens here. Microsoft is announcing they're overhauling how it investigates HR disputes. Apparently they have quite an issue over there. In a letter to employees, the CEO, Satya Nadella, said that the company was making changes how its human resource department investigates workplace incidents, including creating a new advocacy team. He said, "I'm disappointed to hear about any behavior in our workplace that falls short of the diverse and inclusive culture we are striving to create." He says, "But I am encouraged that people feel empowered to speak up and demand change." So it looks like it's not all as well at Microsoft. So changes are afoot. Lyft has made some announcements too. And one thing I noticed in Vegas, Uber was always cheaper than Lyft this last trip by $4 or $5. Quite a bit difference. Don't know what's going on there with Uber being cheaper than Lyft. maybe thought, maybe Lyft is thinking, because of all Uber's issues over the past year, year and a half, that they, because they gained some loyalty by people using Lyft because of that, that people would switch. But I saw pretty even utilization of Uber and Lyft anytime I was going to places where there was a group of people for waiting for pickups. But Lyft is going to be running continuous background checks on its drivers. It will require drivers to also carry up-to-date photos, etc. And so drivers will still have to pass Lyft's annual background check, which search both local and national systems. And according to the company, drivers can be disqualified for violent crimes, sexual offenses, and other felonies. Drivers are also prohibited if they have one major or more than three minor driving violations in the past year, or if they have a DUI or drug-related violation in the last 7 years. So while more frequent background checks make sense, the move could be seen as overdue. 2 years ago, more than 8,000 Uber and Lyft drivers failed state-run background checks, and Uber began testing its own continuous as well, doing continuous background checks of employees, or not employees, but of its drivers. Oftentimes, these are the only jobs that some people could get. I had a Lyft driver tell me that he was undocumented, and this was the only job he could get. I thought, wow. He actually told me he was undocumented and driving Lyft. So that was a new one on me. So I don't know if that's a loophole some of these Lyft drivers are using, but made me scratch my head a little bit that this guy would actually tell me this in the car. SpaceX has won a contract to launch NASA's DART asteroid impactor. And it's not a matter of if, but when a dangerous large asteroid ends up on a collision course for Earth, and NASA wants to be ready. The double asteroid redirection test has been in development for several years. It's now got a real launch date with the award of a contract to SpaceX. DART will head into space to blast an asteroid in June 2021 aboard a Falcon 9 rocket. So that'll be exciting to see if we can actually bust an asteroid up. Parrot has added a thermal camera to its folding Anafi drone. The prices went up to $1,900. So again, French drone maker Parrot created a new version of it. And it's a $1,200 increase to go thermal. So not for everyone. And it's going to be using a FLIR, a lepton infrared sensor, alongside a standard camera. So we've seen some of those FLIR cameras already. So kind of exciting stuff here. The Israeli team says it will build a second lunar lander after its first one crashed into the moon. So I was not really, that happened while I was out, but the Israeli nonprofit Space IL crashed one. And basically their reentry burn was interrupted. They did get the rocket back online to slow the spacecraft down a little bit, but it wasn't slow enough to stop it from smashing into the moon. So the Israelis did accomplish a lot. They're, I think, only the fourth nation to actually, well, crash something into the moon. But they did break some records. This was an independent team as well. So congratulations to them, and too bad they had problems on their crash. There was something I was going to tell you guys. It just crossed my mind. And what was I going to say? Guess it wasn't that important. Lyft has removed e-bikes from various cities over unexpected strong brakes. Citibike, Capital Bike Share, and Ford Go Bike have recalled electric bicycles. So apparently these vehicles or these bikes are braking too hard and causing issues, I guess, causing people to crash. So that's the reason for that. What else here? I got a last couple of articles for you. Oh, big one. The EU has officially approved a controversial and sweeping reform of its copyright rules to protect content creators, but that includes provisions. Well, it's basically is bad for companies like mine. And we're going to have to look at this heavily. And people that upload content into a service like ours, we now can be held liable, even though we have safe harbors provision in the United States. We're not protected by the EU. If someone uploads something that is copyright nature, we could be impacted here. So I don't know what it's going to take. It's the tech to stop some of this happening is very expensive and very hard to do. We'll see, but this has big, big impacts across the board. And I would think that EU creators are going to be hurt by this the most, because some companies may opt not to do business with EU creators. It largely could change the whole space as far as companies like mine and who we can work with, the risk mitigation. So I'm turning it over to the lawyers to look it over. Final article tonight. The U.S. is losing a major front to China in the new Cold War. And, what's going on here is we're not really losing, but other countries are starting to implement some China type provisions on the internet. Vietnam and Thailand are warming to a governance model that basically twins sweeping content curbs with an uncompromising data controls. So in other words, firewalls. And a growing number of the region's increasing autocratic governments envy the emergence of China corporations and the things that they're basically how there's the firewall that's going on there. So we will see what's going to happen here. Could be a remolding of the internet into a tightly controlled and scrubbed sphere like China is. So time will tell. So this could be Vietnam, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia. It could be big if they follow the China model as far as the internet goes. And the only people that lose are the citizens of those countries. All right, I'm going to email here, and Steve, thank you for your email. I'm not going to read it. I did reply to you already, and I got an email from Bob talking about Windows stopping force updates. I think I did cover that already, Bob, so thanks for sending me that email. But again, Windows 10 force updates are on pause at this point. So that's good news. Other than that, I think I'm done today. So we'll get out of here. I want to thank all of you for your ongoing support of the show. And definitely appreciate Kirk for stepping in while I was out. And thanks everyone for their feedback. After having done the show now for, we're fast approaching, what is it now? Going to be 15 years that, I've got, 1,300 plus shows under my belt, and it's really hard for someone that comes to step in that has 20 or 30 shows under their belt and be able to do it with the same bravado, I guess, that I do. And, but I'm trying to build, people here on the team and give them opportunity. Please understand that. So I know we only had, and it goes the other way too. So I do appreciate everyone's feedback here, but I do want to thank Kirk for his job and putting the show together for two episodes in a row. And Kirk's doing the best job he can and is improving. And I hope that you all appreciate that and me giving someone the opportunity to stand in and do the show for me when I cannot. It's either that or no show. So if you guys want me to have no episodes while I'm not able to do that, and you need to voice that loudly. And if you're okay with people coming in and doing the show in my stead when I'm not around, voice that as well. I know it's a mixed bag. And my best advice is, if you don't want to hear someone other than me, just skip the episode. And if you're listening to the show, you're going to know when I'm going to be back. I guess that's the most important thing. All right. Thanks everyone for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thank you for your ongoing, honest opinions. I do appreciate that. That's part of being part of the Ohana here, that you can give me your thoughts and where you feel the show lays and where it's headed. Lots of exciting stuff. This is going to be a crazy year, big change for the show. And I want to thank everyone for being patient as well. You know, things just can never stay exactly the same. Times change, people change. But the one thing is, this show will continue. And as I move forward here, definitely thank you for your support. The insider support is really, really critical right now. So those of you that are contributing, thank you so much. Those of you that have not ever contributed as an insider, this is the time to do a one-time donation or get on the bandwagon and help the show. It's a big deal. It really, really is. And I do strongly appreciate and cannot say enough about those of you that are coming in at $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month, and to include the folks that do one-time donations. It is truly greatly appreciated in a big, big way. It's been my pleasure bringing you the show. Be back with you on Thursday and for another edition here out of Hawaii, one of the last few shows we're going to be doing live video-wise from the studio. And then we go audio only for a while. All right, everyone, take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Aloha.